Well, greetings everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is an educational service in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 80 countries around the world over the Internet. For more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. The Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, news, and current events. Stay tuned for tonight's special report on the cause of disease right after this. You know, we Americans may hold the dubious honor of being the most litigious people in the world, but when it comes to the law, we are among the world's most ignorant. Today, most Americans feel powerless to resist these evils that we see perpetrated against our liberties, our privacy, and our property by these powerful government agencies, the multinational corporations, the lobbies, and the news media. But you know, we don't have to remain helpless. The institution, which was designed by God and incorporated into our Constitution and our Bill of Rights, is called the judicial power. Now, the courts are the proper repository for the protection of our rights, our liberties, and our property. It doesn't belong to the Congress or the President or the political process. Did you know that the privilege against self-incrimination, for instance, is neither accorded to the passive resistant, nor to the person who is ignorant of his rights, not to one who is indifferent thereto? And that's because it's a fighting clause. Its benefits can be retained only by sustained combat. It cannot be claimed by your attorney or your solicitor. It is valid only when insisted upon by you, the belligerent claimant in person. So says U.S. versus Johnson. And that's why I contend that we should listen more to the judges and listen a whole lot less to the politicians and the lawyers. Now, did you hear what that judge said in that statement? He said, your rights cannot be claimed by your attorney or your solicitor. Your rights can only be claimed by you, the belligerent claimant in person. Now, if you'd like more information about courtroom strategy and procedure and your rights, why don't you call the law school? The number is 417-273-4967. Now, be sure to ask for my free general law CD package while you're at it. Now, that's a four-hour commentary on the law school. It's entertaining, it's educational, it's informative, and best of all, it's free. Our school, Courtroom Strategy and Procedure, is available on compact disc for adult home education. If you're online, go to our website. It's georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. Just click on the email and send us an email request for your free general law CD package. Once more, that's georgegordon.org. Or call us direct at 417-273-4967. All right, we're talking about cancer. We're talking about disease, heart attack, stroke, multiple sclerosis, muscular dystrophy, and so on. And the book that I'm reviewing, it's just a small booklet, a pamphlet that you actually get. It's almost like an advertisement. It's called Cleanse and Heal Your Body. It's written by a fellow named Schultz, S-C-H-U-L-Z-E, Dr. Schultz. I picked up on him because he was a student of Dr. Christopher. And I followed Dr. Christopher religiously for many years. He was an old Mormon herbalist out in, I believe he lived in Salt Lake City. Anyway, Schultz went to his school, and Schultz trained also with Bernard Jensen. Some of you out there will recognize the name Jensen. How about Walker, the Walker juicer? And Christopher, he actually studied with a number of others. And he's been to jail a couple of times. I mean, anybody that gets into alternative health is going to go to jail. You can just about bet on that. I reported on a medical doctor here not too long ago that picked up on Laetrile. Laetrile is that vitamin B17 called amygdalin. And it's very natural. It occurs, you know, all over the world in foods, you know, mainly nuts, berry seeds, you know, and the peach pits and apricot pits and things like that. And these things actually heal because they're essential nutrients in your body. And so I've mentioned this a time or two. All disease, all of it, all 450 that you find in the Merck Desk Reference, they're called symptoms. Symptoms. And all these disease symptoms over here have a common cause. Yeah, that's right. They all have a common cause. Actually, the whole subject of disease is really very simple. It's very simple. It's not complex. It's like law. Law is really very simple. The reason we lawyers speak in Latin and we use legal terms is to obfuscate the simplicity of the law, like thou shalt not steal. I mean, what in the hell is so difficult to follow about that? I mean, you don't have to go to law school to figure out thou shalt not steal, just four words. Thou shalt not commit adultery. I mean, you don't have to have a Harvard degree, you know, from the law school to understand that. But we speak in Latin so that you can't understand it, so that you have to keep coming back to us. out of your ignorance and pay us our huge fees so that we can go into court, that's the temple, and defend you against things that you ought not to have to defend against, you know, like eating peach pits or telling somebody how to cure his diseases, you know. And that's, it would seem like to me, my old aunt Bessie was one, but my old granny, you know, she was always out telling the ladies next door, you know, how to cure little Johnny of this and cure him of that. She was always practicing medicine without a license. That was my granny. Pretty good old heifer. She was a very, very astute, very, very good at disease, and she was very good with children. She had seven of her own, and she never went to a hospital to have a baby. Isn't that amazing? My old granny, she had all of her babies at home, and she had seven of them. They're all just all healthy as can be. Didn't have a problem in the world. And she was also a midwife. You know, after you've had seven babies, you could kind of tell some of the younger heifers, you know, coming up, you know, here's how that works. I've always marveled at you ladies out there. You go to a man, and this man over here, you know, he's called a pediatrician. He's never had a baby in his life. And you go to him and you ask him, how should I have my baby? You know, that's like going to a plumber to find out what that tumor is in your head. You know, this doesn't kind of make any sense to me. I think you ought to go to a brain surgeon if you got a tumor in your head, and I think you ought to go to a plumber if you got a plugged up pipe, and I think you ought to go to your granny or your Aunt Bessie. You know, I think they can give you better advice about having babies than some man, but then don't let me get in the way of your happiness and success. Well, anyway, this guy Schultz over here, now he spent a lot of time, effort, and energy studying herbs. Now, herbs are foods. In the final analysis, that's what they really are. They're bad tasting foods. They're not anything like Krispy Kremes and Hershey bars. They taste awful. And so you have to put them in capsules and swallow them whole, because if that stuff ever got loose in your mouth, you know, God only knows what the outcome might be. So we take these capsules that are filled with these herbs. Now, these herbs are full of chemicals. And pharmaceutical companies, they use a lot of herbs, and they like to, but they don't like to go out into the rainforests of the Amazon and pick flowers and then synthesize them down, you know, and make medicine out of them. They like to go to Dow Chemical and pick up the chemicals directly from the coal tar that comes off of the oil well, so that they can synthesize it out of chemicals that are cheap, and they can maximize their profits that way. And so the doctors, they talk in big words. And they use these big words that none of the rest of us out here can understand, and they do that to obfuscate, if you like that word, and to hide the meaning. They do that so that you can't understand what the hell they're doing, what they're saying. Because it's really simple. There's just no real big mystery. Now, here's why it's simple. See, your body has an immune system. It's got a thyroid and an appendix and tonsils and adenoids and gallbladders, and it's got all these the lymph nodes, and it's got these various systems in here which are designed to heal itself. I mean, this thing, your body will run on automatic pilot better than a 747 on a computer. I mean, it's this thing, once it takes off, it's good for 70 years, guaranteed, in writing. By the designer and maker. I mean, you got a guarantee in here. That guarantee, by the way, is located, in case you wanted to see the guarantee in writing. The guarantee in writing on your 70 years, trouble-free maintenance, automatic pilot, is in Leviticus 26, 1 through 13, and Deuteronomy 28, verses 1 through 14. It's not just once, it's written twice. Double guarantee. And so there are some guys that have been looking at, and this guy Schultz, now he's not religious. But, you know, he's not anti-God either. He doesn't say very much about evolution, you know, like billions and billions of years ago when your thymus was first developing, you know, and evolving out of green slime. He talks about God. In fact, he mentioned yesterday, he said, you know, I wouldn't want to BS you and tell you that I know very much about the body, because I really don't know very much. That was the first clue to me that this guy's probably worth listening to, when he said, I don't know everything. Unlike 17-year-old pimply-faced punk kids, you know, that know everything, you know, this guy says, well, I really don't know everything, but I do know a little bit. I always liked old Oliver Wendell Holmes, you know. He said, well, I don't know very much law, but I'm god-awful good at the little bit I do know. That was a pretty astute statement. Well, anyway, this guy, Schultz, he doesn't know it all, but he's god-awful good at the little bit that he does know. And the little bit that he does know is that your colon, your guts, that is, that piece of real estate from your mouth to your rectum, which is about 30 feet long. He said, that is the most vital part of your body, that 30 feet right there. And he said, if that thing gets plugged up, if that thing ain't working right, there isn't anything else in your body that is. That piece of real estate has to really work good. And it's pretty complex. And there's a story that goes along with it. And I found the story to be absolutely fascinating. It's called Chapter 1, Bowel Anatomy and Physiology 101. So, you know, if you're just a plumber, a carpenter, electrician like me, you know, this was really interesting. So let me share with you what he discovered. And remember, I told you this yesterday. So this guy, Norman Walker, said the same thing. In different words, but he said the same thing. And Bernard Jensen said the same thing. And these two guys, they wrote two books. One's called Tissue Cleansing Through Bowel Management. Dr. Bernard Jensen, he was a chiropractor and a nutritionist. And then a guy by the name of Norman Walker, he's the guy that invented that famous Walker juicer. He's a doctor of science and a PhD. And then he came to the same conclusion. He said, it's your colon, partner. And constipation is the cause of disease. pure and simple constipation. So if you're plugged up, you know, and my granny, she used to take physics all the time. You know, she always had her milk of magnesia. You know, she's always sucking that stuff down. But, you know, she lived to be 88 years old. Yeah, my old granny lived to be 88 years old, smoked a pack of Camel Studs every day. Well, not all of her life, just from 18 to 85. She would have smoked until the day she died, but she had a stroke when she was 85. She couldn't light cigarettes anymore. She couldn't strike the matches. And so because of that, she had to give up smoking the last 3 years of her life. But she smoked a pack of Camel Studs, and she ate pig. She never cooked with anything other than pig, ate a lot of fat. My granddad ate the lean. She ate the fat like Jack Sprat. Couldn't eat any lean, and his wife could eat, no, I don't know, whatever that story was. Well, anyway, that was my granny. And she didn't live a very healthy lifestyle. You know, she smoked, she drank. She didn't chase wild men, but she did smoke, and she drank a little, not too much. And she lived a good old long life, and you know, we got to kind of ask, well, why? What did she do? Well, let me tell you, my granny was never plugged up, and she didn't allow me to be plugged up either. Those old ladies, they knew something about medicine, you know, like old Aunt Bessie. That was my Aunt Bessie. That was the lady with the switch. She didn't have any children to talk back to her either. And I only talked back to her once. That was my Aunt Bessie. I talked back to her one time. She used to use a little switch. She had a willow switch. God, that thing stung. I always gave my Aunt Bessie a wide berth because of that willow switch. Well, anyway, she's pretty good on that, too. She believed in, you know, that cleanliness had to be on the inside and out. You come in to dinner. It wasn't necessary, you know. I mean, it wasn't possible. You just washed your hands, you know. I mean, you had to wash your hands, your wrists, your arms, and not just the hand that you ate with, you know. I mean, you had to wash both of them. And then you had to wash your elbows. And then you had to wash your neck. I never could figure out what my ears and my neck had to do with eating. But for some reason, you had to be clean when you came to the table. And they never could wash your neck or your ears without getting your collar wet. Did you ever notice that? And so when I sat down to eat dinner, I always had a wet collar around my neck. I hated that wet collar around my neck. So there's that part of the story. All right, well, Schultz starts off here and he says, thousands of patients walked into my clinic with stomach aches, but when I would ask them where their stomach hurt, they would almost always point to their colon instead, about 12 inches below their stomach. Now, we walk around in our body for 100 years, but have very little or no idea where our particular organs are located. Well, not anymore. In this chapter, I'm going to show you where your digestive system and your colon are, and then put an end to your misery. Your colon is the last stage of your digestive tract, and it has many jobs. Having a basic understanding of your colon's functions can keep you healthy and prevent disease. It's a 30-foot long journey, 30 feet. So let me take the liberty here of actually describing the entire digestive and elimination tract. The main reason for this is I don't know the next time I'll get close to the subject, and it may be helpful to many of you to understand the upper gastrointestinal anatomy and physiology. To the layperson, he wants to tell you about your guts. And as always, if this section is more than you can comprehend, then drop it. Just forget about it. You don't need to know this, but it's kind of neat. There'll be no test, and you can heal yourself of anything without knowing the following information. How do you like that? You can heal yourself. You don't have to know all of this. But it's really interesting. I mean, it's really interesting. There's some big words in here. We'll muddle through these big words over here. Us lay people, we just call them guts, you know. And so you get a gut ache. My dad used to do that. And then he would say that he's got this terrible gut ache. You know, he never did have a stomach ache. We call it a stomach ache. When you get that pain in your stomach, you point to a place about 3 or 4 inches above your belly button, don't you? That's not your stomach. That's your colon. Isn't that just real special? Yeah, your stomach's in another location. It's kind of like your kidneys and liver and spleen and things like that. When you have these belly aches, you know, you point to this area down around your belly button, and you poke and you say, oh, God, that's hurt. That hurts. That's really sore there. Okay, well, that's not your stomach. It isn't your stomach that's causing you the problem. It's your colon. And your colon is that last 5 to 7 feet of your large intestine, and it's impacted. And this thing gets so impacted, and it's like a, you know, I'm an old-timey plumber. I'll describe this one for you. You got a 3/4-inch pipe coming in from the water meter. And they used to put them in and galvanize pipe. Well, over time, the galvanized pipe, you know, the galvanization, the zinc that's on this pipe, it wears off and it corrodes, and then rust begins to build up in the pipe. And over time, about 30 years, this pipe will completely plug up. And so when you're remodeling a house under the old FHA 235 program, you had to change the water pipe. You had to put a new one from the meter into the house. Because they'd require that, because they knew that thing was, if it wasn't totally plugged up, it was almost. And so you got this 3/4-inch pipe coming in, but the amount of surface, the amount of water that comes through, it's down to about 1/4 inch, right in the center. This thing is totally plugged up with rust, and that's what happens to your colon. You see all those Krispy Kremes that you've been eating? and all that white flour and white bread, you know, that Wonder Bread and all that crap. The good stuff, you know, the stuff that tastes good. Okay, well, as it goes through that colon, little bits of it, you know, adhere to the lining, they adhere to the walls of it. And this goes on for years and years and years, and pretty soon all you got left is a quarter of an inch right down the middle of all this gunk. And as time progresses along, you're unable to assimilate the nutrients in your food. Not that your food had very much in the way of nutrients in it when it started in your mouth anyway, but whatever nutrients are in your food are not getting into your body because they can't get absorbed, or enough of them can get absorbed through all of that gunk that's lining your colon. And that's the thing that really surprised me here in this book. And he's got pictures in here too, you know, for those of you that can't read. You can just look at the pictures and they're pretty good. So he's got some pictures of a healthy colon, healthy small intestine, you know, and healthy rectum, and healthy liver and gallbladder and healthy stomach and so on. And then he's got the pictures of the diseased ones, you know, the ones that we have. And then he tells a little story in here. And here's the story. In 1900, just to kind of synthesize it here for you a little bit, 1900, the number of people that had this colon disease was about 10 or 15%. You know, the guy died, and so they'd cut him open, and they'd look at him real good, and 15% of them would have this plugged up colon. They got fancy words, you know, like diverticulosis and things like that, but bottom line is that the water, the old water pipe, the exhaust pipe there is plugged up with a potato, and it doesn't run, and so naturally your body doesn't run very well, and you feel real bad. And you got all these complaints, and these complaints are now categorized in the Merck Desk Reference as symptoms, and so, you know, you got Alzheimer's disease, which you really got is constipation. And old Doc Wallach, you know, he says, well, you got a selenium deficiency. Well, the reason you got a selenium deficiency is because your colon's plugged up and it can't absorb the selenium from the food you're eating. And so he looks at you and says, well, you got a selenium deficiency, and what you need to do is to take all of these pills, you know, so you can get more selenium and you can get more vitamin A and vitamin B and so on. Because the colon isn't the only place that absorbs, you know, vitamins and minerals. They're absorbed through your stomach. They're absorbed through your small intestine. They're absorbed through your colon, through your large intestine. So your body. You know, unlike the evolutionary model, your body is well thought out and well designed. I mean, this thing really works good. You know, if you were to follow the owner's manual, you know, and follow, you know, put in the right oil and the right coolant and, you know, the right grease, you know, you'd probably have a pretty good running body there. But, you know, people, they put in bad fuel and they don't take very good care of their bodies. They take better care of their cars and airplanes and the snowmobiles than they do their bodies. And so then the thing starts giving you some trouble. And the trouble in your body begins with pain. You know, you get this pain. And then you go to the doctor and he says, oh my God, you got this lump here. We need to cut it out. Well, I come to find out that lump over there, which may or may not be cancer over here, is the body's defense mechanism against this constipation, against being plugged up. It's got to have some place to put the crap. When it can't get out of your body, then your body stores it in your fat. And that's why you're gaining a lot of weight, because your body is toxic. And so your body says, oh, well, we can't get it out through the rectum. What are we going to do with this toxic waste? It's kind of like having toxic waste from a nuclear power plant. And you say, let's put it out in Nevada. And then the people in Nevada say, no, we don't want you putting that toxic waste here. And so all of a sudden, you know, here's the nuclear power plant saying, well, what in the hell are we going to do with this stuff? And so they have to have some temporary sites to put this nuclear waste. Well, your body works the same way. You got to have a temporary site to put this waste, and so it sticks it out here in your fat. That's why losing weight real fast, that's kind of bad, because now all of this waste that's been stored out here in your fat tissue for years and years now comes back down. It has to be processed through your liver, and you die from liver failure. How's that for a plan? So you don't want to lose weight too fast. That'll usually make your cancer grow about 10 times faster. I had a sister-in-law. She won the TOPS weight loss program. But it exacerbated her cancer, and she died from cancer. She won the prize. She lost more weight than anybody else. But then, see all that crap? She was constipated. That was her problem. Now, if she'd have done a bowel cleanse first and then lost that weight, so that liver would have had a place to get rid of that toxic overload, you know, and she might have been alive today. All right, so now getting back here now to this digestive and elimination tract. This digestion, the digestive and elimination tract, is one long tube from your mouth to your anus, just shy of 30 feet long. And there's only one way in, and there's only one way out. This tube is often referred to as the alimentary canal or tract, which includes the mouth, esophagus, stomach, duodenum, and small intestine, large intestine, rectum, and anus. And so he goes through and he talks about the esophagus and the stomach and one thing and another. Well, you know, it's kind of interesting to know that your esophagus, that's that tube that goes between your throat, you know, where you swallow, and your stomach. In your mouth, when you chew, your saliva is produced from the salivary glands and mixed with your food. This is often referred to as the first stage of digestion, because saliva enzymes, they initiate the digestion of starches. The saliva also lubricates the food, because its initial travel down the esophagus, and the esophagus is about 9 inches long, and it takes swallowed food down to your stomach. Where the esophagus meets the stomach, there is an esophageal sphincter muscle, which relaxes to let food enter your stomach and then contracts to prevent the backup of the stomach contents. Can you imagine how many millions of years it took for that sphincter muscle to develop through evolution? I mean, you know, think about it. You got all these gastric juices in your stomach. And one of them is hydrochloric acid. And this is where you get this acid reflux disease, you know, and you got this stuff coming up into your esophagus, you know, and oh my God, it's really bad, you know. So you take Tums. And, you know, you take these antacids and one thing and another, and then maybe you even go in and have some surgery or something, you know. Well, you got this muscle down here, and that muscle has to work, you know. And if it's working properly, and if you're eating the right foods and things are going along fine, it doesn't give you any trouble at all, and everything runs fine. And then you got the stomach over here. Now, the stomach is a muscular sac with a mucosa lining. This lining secretes gastric juices like hydrochloric acid and pepsin that help to further digest your food. These juices begin the digestion of proteins. Just the sight and smell of food triggers the excretion of gastric juices. Bad habits like chewing gum continually stimulate and fool the stomach into thinking food is on the way, and that can lead to digestive and stomach trouble. And also, animal foods, especially beef and pork, are almost impossible to digest and require the constant secretion of acid, which can lead to stomach and duodenal ulcers, burnt tissue, and eventually holes in your stomach and intestinal lining. Well, okay, I know I strayed to natural healing and not anatomy and physiology. Okay, now at the end of the stomach is called the pyloric valve, which keeps the stomach's contents in the stomach until they're sufficiently processed and digested to move on. This valve and the emptying of the stomach's contents is triggered by hormones, nerves, and other factors. Hey, listen, you got two valves, one at each end of your stomach. Did you know that? I thought that was just real special. And can you imagine how miserable people were before they evolved these two valves at each end of their stomach? I just thought I'd point that out. We call that the miracle of evolution. It's the miracle of random selection. Now, there's a small intestine. So as food is released from your stomach through the pyloric valve, it enters the duodenum, which is technically considered the first part of the small intestine. The duodenum is almost a foot long, and when partially digested food, sometimes referred to as chyme, enters the duodenum, it triggers the release of hormones. These digestive hormones are released from the walls of the duodenum and stimulate the liver and gallbladder to release bile, which then enters the duodenum through the common bile duct. These hormones also stimulate the pancreas to release pancreatic juices into the duodenum through the same common bile ducts, sometimes referred to as the pancreatic duct. These liver and pancreatic juices continue the process from the stomach, breaking down carbohydrates and proteins. But now, these juices also start to break down fats. The walls of the duodenum secrete digestive juices, too. Isn't that just real special? And all of this just evolved, you know, from green slime, and just put itself all together with these two valves. Now, I'm a plumber, and it's pretty damn hard to get valves in the right place when you're working off of blueprints, for crying out loud, much less just have them put themselves in the right spots, in the right places, in the right sizes, accidentally. And that's a plumber's perspective. Hey, let me give you a reminder here that you're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States. We're heard worldwide over the Internet daily. If you'd like more information about the law school and the Law Hour, please go to our website at georgegordon.org. That's georgegordon.org. Remember, the law school teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. That's 8 schools in all. The law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school that is open to individuals but by prearrangement. The law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. If you'd like more information, please go to our homeschooling page on our website. The Law Hour website is updated every week. It has a radio log schedule and archives, and that can be accessed through the website as well. The Law Hour is carried worldwide over the Internet, and all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date. That's for your listening convenience. The Law Hour is an educational service, and that's brought to you in the public interest. The Law Hour brings you timely reports on law, science, education, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events, and we do that 7 days a week. The Law School offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. Be sure to order yours by calling the Law School and asking for it. The number is 417-273-4967. Once more, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, the sources of information that we use on this program are true, accurate, and correct, at least to the best of our knowledge and belief, and the Law Hour editorial review gives credit to those authors and publications that we use on this program. We often endorse and recommend books, periodicals, papers, and newsletters to our listeners. These endorsements or recommendations that we give do not mean that the authors or publications that we endorse or recommend will reciprocate, and that's because most of these authors and publications that we cite here on the Law Hour may not approve of us here at the Law Hour and Editorial Review, and they may be hostile or they could be political. Sometimes they're religious, sometimes they're economic. They can be sectarian, they can even be racial or ethnic partisans whose viewpoint may not be totally endorsed now by the Law Hour and Editorial Review. These opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine and mine alone. They don't necessarily represent the beliefs and opinions of the advertisers, the sponsors, the management, or the staff of this network or this local radio station. Now, for more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please go to our website at georgegordon.org. That's georgegordon.org. Or you can call us direct at 417-273-4967. I got to make a quick comment here. The other day, a couple of guys called up after I did a program on another guy's radio show. And we were talking about the Whatley program. A guy by the name of Whatley, I think his name is John Whatley, he developed a marketing program, a growing and marketing program. And he entitled it How to Make $100,000 on 25 Acres or Less. Well, anyway, these at least two listeners have been listening to that program called The Law School and just reamed me a new one over that Whatley recommendation, because Whatley does things that I have pointed out here on the program that are scripturally or biblically incorrect. And they were really incensed and really upset about that. And so my wife pointed out to them that we don't necessarily recommend or document or espouse everything that everybody puts out there. And that's why we tell you, every broadcast, and I say this, but it's for the FCC and it's for you and everybody else. It says most of the authors and publications that we cite here on the Law Hour may be political, religious, economic, sectarian, racial, or ethnic partisans whose viewpoint is not totally recommended or endorsed by the Law Hour and Editorial Review. So I don't recommend or endorse everything that Whatley has to say. But I want to point this out, that if I'm going to make a report, I have to give credit where credit's due. Whatley is the guy that funked it up first. It wasn't me. And so I like to give credit. Now, the same thing is true here of Dr. Schultz, My granny was hell on regularity. Irregularity means you go to the bathroom number two once a day. And she'd give you a physic. I mean, she'd give you that god-awful tasting milk of magnesia. If you told her that you hadn't gone to the bathroom today, boy, she'd fix you up in short order. Now she didn't know anything at all about the duodenum. she could say the word stomach, but I don't think my old granny knew very much about the pyloric valve. And until I read this little booklet here, I didn't know anything about the pyloric valve either. So the moral to the story is that you need to give credit where credit's due. And I recognize that Mr. Whatley, I don't know, he's a PhD, I guess he's Dr. Whatley. Dr. Whatley, I'm fully familiar with the fact that he buys insurance and has licenses and permits and pays income tax and does all those, probably has a social security number and all the rest of it. And I don't deny that, and I'm not recommending that you follow the Whatley program. That's why I picked out the Whatley program, and then I corrected it by putting in the 16 economic laws from the Bible, tithing in place of income tax. And then in our program, we have a marketing plan over here that totally bypasses Article 1, Section 8 of the Constitution and the Commerce Clause. And I don't think Dr. Whatley had any concerns about the Commerce Clause or income tax or insurance or anything else. But that doesn't mean that I'm endorsing the Whatley program carte blanche. But by the same token, I couldn't ignore it, because to do that, they have a big word, that's called plagiarism. That means that you're stealing other people's ideas and appropriating them to yourself. And so that's why I'm very careful to give credit here to Dr. Schultz, because, if I hadn't read his book here, I couldn't have found a pyloric valve, at high noon with both hands and a roadmap. But I can now, because he put a roadmap right here in his book. It's on about page, he's got page numbers here, 18, 19, yeah, page 20. It says, your colon, a basic understanding of how it works could save your life. And it's laid out here. He's got a roadmap right here. And so from now on, when I go to poke at myself, I don't say, I'm poking my stomach. Now I know that I'm poking my colon. Hey, that's my transverse colon. And then there's a descending colon. And then there's an ascending colon. And then there's a neat little thing here called an appendix. And he's got a chapter in here on the appendix. And my granny had her appendix cut out. And my first wife had her gallbladder cut out. And he explains what the appendix is for. Now, medicine, modern medical doctors, I don't think they know what an appendix is for. And if they do, they sure as hell ain't telling. I can testify to that, because they're still cutting appendixes out. When I was a kid, they used to call it a vestigial organ. That is, as the evolutionary process is working, this appendix, which used to have a function at one time, no longer has a function. And that's because it's a little tit sticking down, off of your cecum. They got a name here. It's called the cecum. And then they got this little thing here called an appendix. And he explains what this appendix is all about. It's an organ that is specially designed to kill bacteria as it's going into your, or coming out of your small intestine. And it's an immune system organ. And when you cut it out, you have destroyed a part of your immune system. And there isn't any way that your body can cure itself of disease without your immune system. So the more of your immune system that you've got working for you, the better. And that's all of it. I mean, all of it is working together because it was designed and created by an engineer. And this engineer, we call him God. You know, normal people just hang a label and call him God. They don't really know what his name is, but they recognize him as being the creator of the universe. Some people do. And this guy's pretty smart. I mean, he not only makes suns and moons and stars and planets and things like that. He's an astrophysicist, but he's also a pretty fair to middling, a good medical doctor too. And then he designed this thing here so that when you're eating blackberries, you got teeth up in the top of your head, and that's for grinding up these little seeds, which releases the vitamin B17, which goes down into your stomach. And it's got these valves on each end of your stomach, you know, that work to open and close automatically. You don't have to know anything about them. They're automatic valves. That's a real plumber, I'll tell you. You don't have to go out here and open the valve and close it, open the valve and close it, you know. When you want to fill the water trough, you got to open the faucet, open the valve. No, this thing's totally automatic. It's on autopilot. Hell, you don't even know that thing is down there. And it just works like a shot. And it works perfectly, and it works for 70 years, guaranteed, in writing. And I told you that when we started. Now, this immune system, it heals itself. This immune system in your body, if it's all working right, will heal you of cancer. You know, you get cancer, it automatically takes care of it. You ate one of those Krispy Kreme donuts, hey, it'll take care of it. Now, if you eat too many Krispy Kreme donuts, it cannot stay ahead of too many. I mean, you can put more Krispy Kremes down there than your immune system can take care of. But if you eat one once in a while, it'd be all right. And I say one once in a while. Not six a day. I don't think you can handle it. All right, now let's give credit where credit's due. The guy's name is Schultz, and that's spelled S-C-H-U-L-Z-E. I assume he's kind of Germany. And you can reach him at 1-877-TEACH-ME. That's easy enough. That's 1-877-TEACH-ME. And you want his colon book is what you want. So if you call them up on the phone and say, hey, I want your colon book, they might even charge you for it. I don't know. I sent off and I got his colon cleansing program, and they send you this little book, kind of explains to you what you're doing and why. And I got it from his catalog, and ask him to send you his catalog. You'll learn more about health and nutrition and so on from his catalog than you will from medical school. I mean, this guy can tell you more about your body and how it works in his crummy catalog, for crying out loud, than you'd learn in medical school if you're a doctor. And that's fact. Now, he also publishes. I mean, he puts out little books like this, and he'll tell you about all kinds of things in your body. And this book is talking about your guts, but, you know, he can tell you about your heart and your liver. And he's got a gallbladder flush and a liver flush. And, I mean, you know, he can get right down to the nitty-gritty. He can cure cancer. And this guy can tell you what causes cancer, and he can tell you how to cure it. And I'll bet you he knows all 14 ways to cure cancer. And I'll bet you that he isn't marching on cancer, and he isn't running for cancer or donating to the American Cancer Society either. And that's because you've already got 14 cures to cancer. What do you need a 15, 16, or 17 for? Now, the purpose for all of this cancer research is to keep all of these cancer researchers off the streets and out of the pool halls, keep them occupied and keep them employed. And I say let them go out and get a job and do something intelligent for a change. Now, that's my opinion. Now, remember, his telephone number over here is 1-877. That's 1-877-TEACH-ME. And if that doesn't mean anything to you, it's 1-877-832-2463. That's 1-877-832-2463. And he also lives at P.O. Box 9459, Marina Del Rey, California, 90295. And his name is Schultz, S-C-H-U-L-Z-E, Dr. Schultz. Schultz. I pronounce it Schultz, as if it's got a T in there. And copyright 2007, about 100 pages long, dynamite book. I mean, you can't learn more faster than you can with this little book. It just gets right down to the nitty-gritty. He uses a few big words in here, but easy reading because he explains what the big words mean. And he's not trying to BS you. In fact, he tells you pretty plainly in here, you know, I'd just be full of BS, you know, if I told you that I knew what was wrong with you and I knew everything about the body. And he's very, very honest about that. He says, you know, I know about 10%, maybe. Maybe I know 10%. And that's the first clue to me that the guy's probably telling you the truth when he says, you know, I really don't know a whole lot about that, but here's what I do know. Now, he goes through the anatomy here, and he talks to you about, you know, all of the parts that go on down here. I'm not going to bore you with anymore. I did two or three pieces over here, and every one of these pieces that he talks about You know, you talk about these gastric juices. Hell, I can't even pronounce the names of these gastric juices. And here's God comes along, and he's got bile ducts. And as you're eating and as this food is going through here, these juices, different chemical combinations, are coming out at just the right time. And they digest, and they liquefy this food. They liquefy this vitamin B17. And then other chemicals and enzymes come out and take that B17 and take it right through into your liver. And your liver then acts upon it and turns it into chemical molecules that your body can use. And then the blood comes by and it sticks it on there, and it runs out and it goes into your spinal fluid. And your spinal fluid is the reservoir that your body always goes to when it needs something. You know, say it needs some vitamin B12, and then it just runs right over to your spinal fluid and it grabs a hold of it right there, and it runs out and it delivers it to where it's needed against a tumor or whatever it needs, you know. And it's all automatic, and you didn't even know it was there. Now, this thing becomes diseased. He gets over here to chapter 2, and it says colon disease and colon cancer. Boy, this is a sobering chapter, kids. When you get to chapter 2 over here, in your lifetime, the average American eats 12 3,000-pound cows. Now, obviously, Mr. Schultz is not a cattleman. I can tell you that right there, that statement right there. Now, he picked that up someplace. That's 12 3,000-pound cows. That's 36,000 pounds of beef a year you're going to eat. Well, it's got to be more than that, because, see, you can only get 50% cut out of a cow, unless you're eating tripe and brains and bones and everything else. And then another thing is, cows don't grow to 3,000 pounds. I mean, you got a big cow, you know, if you got one that's a 1,000-pounder. And we don't eat too many of those cows. We eat a lot of steers and heifers, but we don't eat a lot of cows. And so it's more like about 36 cows, 1,000-pounders, or more like about 72 of them after they're butchered. Boy, that's a lot of livestock, 72 1,000-pound animals. When they're butchered, butcher out about 500 pounds, 36,000 pounds of beef and all, 6 whole pigs, 3,000 chickens, turkeys, and other flying birds, 3,000 fish, sea creatures, and sea scavengers, 30,000 quarts of cow's milk, 30,000 aspirin and painkillers, 20,000 over-the-counter and prescription drugs, and 2,000 gallons of alcohol. Now, did you know that you were going to drink 2,000 gallons of Jack Daniels? My God, I never dreamed that it could be that much. It costs $13 a fifth where I'm at. You know, and that's only 4/5 of a quart. And, you know, so it takes about 5 of those, 5 times 13, that equals $65 times 2,000. Boys and girls, did you know that it's going to cost you $130,000 over your lifetime to pay your bar bill? Now, I didn't know that until I pulled it out of this little book here called Cleanse and Heal Your Body. But I'm telling you right now, your Jack Daniels bill is going to be $130,000 over the course of your lifetime. Now I can better understand Baptist theology. And those guys ain't stupid, you know, they figured it out. They said, you know, now this is Kent Hovind, he said, alcohol has never touched my lips. And I thought he was a teetotaler. No, he's a Scotsman. He's not going to blow $130,000 on the Jack Daniels distillery over there buying 2,000 gallons of whiskey. He's going to put the money in his pocket and spend it down at Orlando at Disney World or something. Well, anyway, that's just some of the fun stuff that you get out of this book, this chapter 2. That's page 1 of chapter 2. Now, what causes 100% of Americans stand up with colon disease? Did you get that? 100% of Americans are going to have colon disease. That's almost as good as cancer. You see, by the year 2020, they promise us now that 100% of Americans are going to have cancer one time at least in their lifetime by the year 2020. Today, it's only 1 out of 2, 50%. But it's growing rapidly. And the more money that we throw at cancer and cancer research, the worse it gets. Now, I don't know if this has got any merit or not, but over the past 100 years, we have every year spent more and more money on cancer research, and every single year, cancer is getting worse and worse. It's come to my attention that spending money on cancer research causes cancer. It's the only conclusion I could come to. I would guess, I would believe, I would conclude that if we were to spend less money on cancer, the cancer rate would go down. It's kind of like education. The more money you spend on education, the dumber your kid gets. Been that way now for 100 years. We've been spending more and more money on education. We're spending around $10,000 a year per kid in school. $10,000 a year. A kid only goes to school, you know, for 180 days. So take $10,000, plug it into your Sharpie L1197, divide that by 180 days, you know, on the job. It costs $55.55 a day to keep your kid in school. That's just about right. $56 a day is what the school's losing if your kid's tardy or absent from school. Isn't that just real special? Now look at what you're putting in your bodies, children. Just imagine all the dead, decaying flesh, junk food, and drugs going into your mouth. All of it passing through your digestive tract and into your bloodstream. Through your brain, through your heart, and then out through your liver, bowel, and kidneys. This fiberless feast causes the average American to be 70,000 bowel movements short in their lifetime. You know, you should be going to the bathroom 70,000 times more. Well, there's a bright side to constipation. Look at all the money you're saving on toilet paper. I mean, you know, let's be intelligent people. You know, if you used a roll of toilet paper, you know, every week, and assuming you went to the bathroom once a day, and you used a roll of toilet paper every week, you know, and that'd be seven bowel movements to a roll of toilet paper, and you're saving 70,000. Divide seven into 70,000. You know, let's just try that. 70,000 divided by seven, you're saving 10,000 rolls of toilet paper. You know, times 25 cents. That's $2,500. Now, you know, a penny saved is a penny earned. You know, you save, you know, if you'd quit drinking, you'd save $130,000. And if you'd plug up and stop using so much toilet papers and save 70,000 bowel movements in your lifetime, you'd save another $2,500 on toilet paper. Not to mention, you know, the water that it takes to flush the toilet and all. So constipation has its bright sides. Now, constipation has its downside. And that is, it causes a lot of misery. It causes an awful lot of cancer. It causes a lot of heart attacks, strokes, muscular dystrophy, and so on. In fact, all those 450 diseases that we're getting come right out of your colon. And that's just real special. Now, it don't quite add up to 100%, because you got some people out here, you know, that aren't plugged up. You got some people, you know, that have diseases and they're not plugged up. And that's because, in addition to their colon being clean, they're still starving to death, or they're still being poisoned from some other means. See, you could have a totally clean colon and take in some cyanide and die from it. So just because you got a clean colon isn't going to protect you from arsenic and cyanide. It isn't going to protect you from a shortage of B17 either. But because your colon is plugged up, because you're constipated, your body cannot assimilate the nutrients that you're taking into your mouth. So you can be eating all the B17 in the world. And we saw that with Dr. Richardson, you know. He figured out that the cancer is caused by a B17 deficiency. So let's fill these people up with B17. And you know what happens? A bunch of them die anyway. And so that's an anomaly. And we sit there and we say, well, if you're suffering from B17 deficiency and that's what causes cancer, then how come when you fill these people up with B17, they die anyway? And that's because they've got a plugged up colon and they can't assimilate the B17. Now, ain't that just real special? All right, so now, going back here to evolution and the miracle of evolution, I call it a miracle of random selection, as opposed to the design mechanism designed by a master engineer. Now, compare the two of them. And I think, if you got some common sense running around in your brain between your ears, you'll figure out that, hey, listen, this engineer over here made a hell of a marvelous machine, and the machine's being screwed up by putting in too many Krispy Kremes. And now that the thing is plugged up like a potato up your tailpipe, the engine ain't running very good. Those are called symptoms, and now we need a doctor who says what we need to do is to cut out the muffler and the tailpipe. I think we need to remove the potato. I'm running out of time, kids. I got to give you a final reminder here that you're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Remember, The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States. We're heard worldwide over the Internet every day. That's daily. For more information about The Law School and The Law Hour, please go to our website at georgegordon.org. That's georgegordon.org. While you're at it, remember, The Law School offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. Be sure to order yours by calling The Law School at 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, The Law Hour is carried worldwide over the Internet daily. And The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Our time's up. We've got to leave it right there. So we'll see you back here tomorrow night, same time, same station, God willing, of course. So until then, thanks for listening, everybody, and good night, friends.